Well, that was just some more nuggets out of Hosea before we left Hosea.
I guess I could comment on a few little things. Remember last week we talked about how when God told Hosea to take a bride of whoredoms, and I mentioned the fact that whose job description does that sound like? And we know it was Jesus's. He was told, or I don't know about told, but he had to do the same thing. Anyway, when we're reading the Bible, it's so important that we know those things because we shouldn't just read it as words on a page. We have to read it on a higher level. We have to get into the spirit to really know what God is speaking to us because that's where the life is. That's where the nourishment is spiritually. Our physical bodies need to eat. Right. Well, our spirits need to feed also. And if we're reading God's word and we're not getting what he wants to say to us spiritually, we're not getting the spiritual nourishment that we need. Remember when I think it was Nicodemus said to Jesus, he asked him something, and Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "Can I return a second time into my mother's womb?" Do you think Nicodemus was getting what Jesus meant spiritually? No, he was just on this physical plane. He wasn't even, he wasn't seeing what Jesus was even saying to him. Of course, you can't get in your mother's womb a second time and be born again. That's not what Jesus meant. He meant you had to be born spiritually. And so, until we start seeing what God means spiritually, we're just like Nicodemus was. We're not getting the food for our spirit that we need. And so, just like when Mark said that, Gomer, that was Hosea's wife. She eventually turned back and started doing her evil ways again. And Mark said that she ended up in slavery. So you can see that's a picture of us. As we read the whole book of Hosea, we have to realize this is the story of Jesus's dealing with us. And then we start seeing on that spiritual level and start getting what God wants us to get. Just like when Mark asked, well, he didn't ask. He just said, why would God ask a man to take back this wife, when it was just going to break his heart? If we're seeing on the spiritual level, we realize he had to ask him to do that because that is what Christ had to do, was take us back when we've gone back into slavery. And so the whole Bible is God's, you might call it a play. Everything that goes on in this earth and what went on in the Bible, it was like God's play of showing the spiritual world. And so he had to ask Hosea to take her back because that's what Christ had to do with us to take us back. So that's why we have to know all that stuff. And a couple other things that came to me was when Mark talked about his little encounter with the state trooper, and he asked him to be merciful on him, And what came to my mind was in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So just like Corrie Ten Boom holding that Bible up saying, "Read it for yourself, God," we can claim that with God. If we've been merciful, We can hold God to his word, but we have to remember we can't do it in the manner of, look, God, you owe me this. I was merciful, so you owe it to me to be merciful. Believe me, no matter what you ever do, we owe God, not him owing us. But anyway, we can call on him to keep his word. If we're merciful, we get to have mercy. And then one other little point I wanted to make was one of the reasons why things have to happen the way they happen in the Bible, just like Hosea had to take back Gomer. One of the reasons that that has to be is because of this story God is telling. It has to be accurate. In other words, remember when Jesus came to John the Baptist to get baptized, and John the Baptist said, I can't baptize you. And Jesus said, no, no, it's got to be this way. And the reason he said that is because it had been prophesied that that was going to happen. So all, you know, if you can go back all through the Bible and find places where something had to be a certain way because it had to be accurate. Just like when, remember when God blinded Paul, and then he told Ananias to go pray for him to receive his sight. And Ananias started arguing with God. God, you know who this guy is, don't you? I mean, he's responsible for having Christians killed. And God said to him, look, I've already shown Paul your face in a vision. And when he opens his eyes, he's got to see your face or it's going to hurt my word. You're got to be the one that that does this. And so all these things in the Bible are happening, telling God's story. And then just lastly, I just wanted to say, Mark made the statement that every man should be a priest. And just in case somebody doesn't know, you probably all do, but the textbook definition of a priest is a go-between between God and man. And so we're all supposed to be a go-between between God and, you know, our children and our friends and our communities. You know, we are, you know, we have in our minds that a priest is a bad thing because of what the Catholics have done to it. But in actuality, we're supposed to be a go-between. We're supposed to be showing the rest of the world what God is like, what his attributes are, and that how we can be like him, and all the good that that brings us. So anyway, that's what a priest is a go-between between man and God. So that's it from me. Amen.
Amen.
I have a little bit about what really I am grasping from this message is that how necessary it is for us to die ourselves. And I can share a little bit about that because I have had really a good relationship with the Lord about these things, because I have been struggling so much about how to die myself. And, you know, something is easy for us to lay aside and put away. Another thing is even a stronghold in our life. But I really was asking him, how is it going to be possible? How is I'm going to be getting these things to die myself? And he reminded me on when I met my wife in the first time. And I was so in love, you know. I so loved her from the first day that I saw her, that when I went to work, I was just thinking about her. I was waiting for my work was over so I could go home and be with her. She was a, I have never met a person like her. She was so totally taking my mind that I was just working in I don't know what it was. I was so in total love with her that I forget myself. And he said, that is the key. Love me with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all that is within you, and you will forget yourself. That is the way to die ourselves, brethren, to love him with all our hearts, love him with all our mind. We have been thinking so much about, oh, I died these things in my life, and it was not even truth, because when we shared, I died these things in my life, I am so proud of it that there was a spirit of proud. But to love him with all our hearts is to allow him to infect every single part in of our life. I do not want to wake up in the morning without him. I do not want to lay down in the evening without him. And I think that is the relationship when he coming now. It's I think it's in John chapter 20. Yeah. John chapter 20 and verse 19. This is how he is going to come among us into our life in a great matter. And the verse says, then the same day at the evening begin, the first day of the week, when the door was shut. There was a door that was shut there. We better be on the right side of the door, brethren. And disciples were assembled of fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. This word, peace be unto you, is rest. He was giving them the rest. He spoke the word. And when he spoke the word of the Father. He spoke the Rhema word into their life. They were receiving the rest from him. They were receiving peace from him. He came in midst of them. They could see him. No one on the other side of the door was aware of it. No one in the city knew what was happening. Even those who were in the next house did not notice what was taking place. He came to his, and suddenly he stood there. And suddenly he is coming, brethren. And we better love him with all our hearts, all our minds, everything that is within us. Love him in so great matter that we do not want to do anything of our own. It's his. The harvest that is coming, it's his harvest. The field that is before us, it's his. It's his. It's his kingdom. If we try to add something of our into it, we mix it. Die ourselves is to love him with so great matter that we forget ourselves. I remember when I went to a wedding for a few years ago, and I went outside in the evening. And I went into a spiritually atmosphere that I have cannot explain in other way, and just telling it. I was walking outside and I saw two big trees and I went between them. And then I saw the field. And it was really a harvest time. The corn was so high that was almost in the side of my neck. And in that field, I saw him. And without a word that I knew that the harvest time was coming, it was ready. So I wanted to start plucking up where I stood. And he called me and said, "No, here." So I went to him and started to take off where he was. And when I was finished, he said, "And there." We sometimes go out to the field and start to work according to ourselves. We need to hear him. We need to know his voice when he said, "Here." And after that, when I'm meeting people, I put my mind to him. I said, "What do you have for these people, God? What do you have for them today? Bring some word into my heart, into my mind for those people that is standing before me. I do not want to bring myself. I do not want to share myself. I want to share you with the love of my life. Spring forth, and he will." So, blessing, brethren. And I think this message today is really showing us how necessary it is for us to lay our life down before him. We have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.